So this all happened at the time Jesus had fed the 5,000 with the two fish and the five barley loaves. And he had done miracle upon miracle, and the crowds kept following him because they liked what they thought was the show. They were coming. They probably wanted to pay those big ticket prices for that front row seat so they could see him bring someone to life again. They came for the show and didn't understand what power came out of that show. That it wasn't about the miracles. It was about love. It was about that enduring love that loves us enough to always set a place at the table for us, no matter where we think we belong. We don't have to come dressed in our finest. We don't have to pay the high ticket price for the best seat in the house. We don't have to worry about what clothing we're wearing, whether we last bathed, when we last ate. We don't have to worry about the condition we show up at the table of the Lord. Because there is never, never a place that we cannot sit at Christ's table. There will always be an empty seat. There will always be the invitation, come to the table. Come and receive forgiveness. Come and receive grace. Come and know that you are my beloved child. I'm more excited about you being there than where you came from to get here. Because it's from here and what happens after we've eaten that matters to me. They didn't quite understand this back then. Those Jews who were in authority, those Jews who wanted things to be well understood, didn't quite understand what he meant, that he was the bread of life. Because they understood the manna in the wilderness, and they understood Moses bringing that manna to them, and that God gave them life through bread. But what about this man who's claiming to be the bread of life? This is one of those I am statements that John uses to try to explain to us and to them who Jesus is. I am the bread of life. Manna kind of got really icky if you tried to save it for the next day. If you wanted to hoard that manna, you couldn't hoard manna. It became worms. It was ugly. But when Christ did the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, what did he say to his disciples? Gather up every crumb, because nothing needs to be lost. Christ doesn't want anyone lost. There's a kitchen or a restaurant in Maine, in Freedom, Maine, in fact, that's called The Lost Kitchen. And you almost had to get lost to find it for a while because it didn't have a set location. She would just set up the restaurant in various spots, and over the course of a year, you made your reservations to eat at The Lost Kitchen. But the meal that you got served there was one that you would never forget. This meal that we're receiving today is one Christ calls us to remember and never forget. Because it's not a meal that we end up with dirty dishes with. Well, Judy ends up with dirty dishes with. But it's a meal that changes our lives. It's a meal that changes the life of the world. It's because what John tells us is he gave his life. He was the bread of life for the world. There's a place at the table for everyone. And Christ, what did it say here in this scripture? He said, let me see, I'll find it with my bifocals. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. And anyone who comes to me, I will never, hear that word, never drive away. When we receive, when we say yes to the invitation to receive the bread of life, to receive the gift of reconciliation, to receive the gift of love and remembrance, to receive the gift of redemption, Christ will not drive us away. Christ will continue to call us back in, because I don't know about you, but I know me. I stumble more than I stand sometimes. But my place at the table will always be there. We were talking in early church how we don't quite understand that there was Christ in their midst, performing miracles, raising people from the dead, casting out demons, making a meal for 5,000 people out of 2 loaves and 5 barley breads, walking across water. And they doubted. We keep saying, if Christ was in our midst, you know, how could we doubt? He was in their midst, and they doubted. They did not believe he was, they thought he was just Joe and Mary's boy. They didn't see or could not see. They blinded themselves to the fact that this was God incarnate. This was love manifest in human flesh. This was, for the world, redemption in their midst. And the gift that he gave us was his life on a cross. He died for us. He had no sin. But he died so that we would have reconciliation and life eternal. And so he had this table just before he died. And we go from, in John, from him talking about being the bread of life, for him celebrating with his disciples with a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. When he reminds them that this is my body given for you. And when the bread is broken, we're to remember that Christ's life was broken so that we could have life eternal. I spent a week at a cottage in Maine with the water right in front of me and Mount Desert Island across the bay. I saw the magnitude there in that place, in that quiet, in that stillness of God's beautiful, wonderful creation. We moved in places. We went to Gettysburg, and we did the tour of the battlefield. And I saw a land that was saturated in the blood of both gray and blue. And I thought, just for a moment, over the course of these 2 weeks away from you, how we get caught up in the little tiny things of life as if they're big, enormous problems. How we get wound up about incidentals when the bottom line is love, and always has been and always will be. Why was I comfortable going away? I didn't get any email saying, hurry up and get back because I need care. I knew that you were caring for one another. I knew that phone calls were being made that needed to be made by people who knew to make them. I knew that someone was caring for someone because God's love dwells here. That the bread of life, which is Christ, that is within each of us, that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, is bound together by love. Occasionally we get caught up in those minute little tiny details and forget the magnitude of God. Forget that when we see those, you all love posting rainbows, and when we see those rainbows, when we hear that storm, when we find that moment that everyone has to get out their new cell phone and take a picture of, when we find those moments that are just absolutely glorious, and we can remember that the God of the universe created all of that. But the God of the universe also created each and every one of us and wants more than anything for us to sit around the table, not in some lost kitchen that will cost us an arm and a leg just to get there, but at this table that the only cost was the cost of his life. So remember that when he says he is the bread of life, He is the bread of life for the world. And that when we feast at the table of the Lord, we feast as one body, so that when we go out into the world, we share that love and people see us as the bread of life. So we're going to come to God's table in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.